A woman dies in Minneapolis after an ICE officer is attacked. Was it murder or was it self-defense? The debate and the riots are raging this morning. A new candidate for Fargo mayor says, we need to change the city to a ward system. Who said what exactly? And President Trump says big institutional property buyers will no longer be able to buy single-family houses. A good idea or way too heavy of a hand on private enterprise in the U.S.? A lot of questions, maybe a few answers today on the Steve Holstrom Show. Good morning, my friend. Good to be with you here for the program today. A beautiful, sunny morning. We have not had many of those here in 2026. And boy, do we need it. Not just the January blahs, January blues, whatever you might want to call it, but oh boy, do we need a little sunshine on this world today. A lot of anger, a lot of hostility in a world that was already hostile and angry. So we're going to break all this down here today on the Steve Holstrom Show. Glad to be with you today. Addison Loger, my wingman, got a new car yesterday. What a deal that was.
Things are moving and so fast as well.
Addison has been looking for a specific car for a long time, and his folks found one down in Nebraska and drove it up and surprised him yesterday. What a sweet day that was.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting that when I walked out yesterday.
You
sat out in the parking lot with a pretty little bow on it.
Were at a loss for words. Yes, you were.
I really was, yeah.
It was pretty cool. Your mom and dad were so dang proud. And they're proud of you, my man. I hope you know that, too. It was really fun.
Yeah, I do.
It was really fun. Well, first week in the new time slot, we couldn't have asked for more bombshell stories to discuss this week. But gosh, we didn't want this one. Anytime you have a loss of life, anytime you have people taking on law enforcement, it's just a bad scene all the way around. I will tell you what I saw today and why I'm not surprised when we look deeper into who this woman was and try to figure out why she was there. Got to be the happy warriors, though. Never let them steal your joy and your optimism. And so with that in mind, we begin our program here today. It is January 8th, 2026, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy, and we've got a lot of ground to cover here on the show today. Quick preview, we're going to talk about this Trump idea to prevent BlackRock from being able to buy single-family houses, basically, with local realtor Jenny Schuster. She's been in the business for 25 years, so we're going to get into that with her today. Rocky Schneider will also be with us. They're trying to figure out what to do with food carts in downtown Fargo. The restaurants down there are going, hey, this is why we pay $900 a square foot to be down here, because there's good foot traffic and the food trucks and the food carts. And so we're going to find out from Rocky today how we handle this. What's the best approach down there? So we're going to do that. And a lot of time today to talk about what happened in Minneapolis yesterday. How much to blame are the governor and the mayor for their rhetoric in this whole thing? What needs to be said about this that hasn't been said yet? We're going to give you a chance to weigh in on this one as well. All right, it is 9:09, time to get into the morning wire. We've got a kind of a quick download on the day and what's been happening here around our community. We start with the almanac for today on January 8th. We will gain 1 minute 27 seconds of daylight today, no matter where in North Dakota you are. So we'll take that. We've had already now, this month, we have gained almost 10 minutes of daylight. So let's go. Loving all that. Check of markets this morning. We're off and running. The Dow is up 157. S&P 500 unchanged. The NASDAQ down about 120 points. WTI crude oil today under $57 a barrel right now. So we continue to see oil prices decreasing little by little. Certainly the Venezuelan supply playing a little bit of a part in that. Gold down $25 an ounce, silver down $3.63. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide, $2.81, and that's unchanged from yesterday. Diesel fuel at $3.53. North Dakota, average unleaded $2.54. South Dakota, $2.56. Minnesota, $2.59. And if you got a Bitcoin today, that's worth about what it was yesterday at this time, about $91,000. In the news today, the new candidate for Fargo mayor says that he favors a ward system. Currently, Fargo's got a commission style. All commissioners are at large, meaning they don't represent one single area of the Fargo community. Josh Boucher, Current Democrat lawmaker in Bismarck from the city of Fargo favors a different style. He says, I'm a ward and council kind of a guy. He said that yesterday on the Jay Thomas show. So that's making news today. Of course, a big story that's making headlines nationally, an ICE Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer shot and killed a Minneapolis driver yesterday during the Trump administration's latest immigration crackdown on a major American city. The motorist drove the vehicle toward the law enforcement officer before he opened fire, and she was killed a short time later. The vehicle careened into a bunch of cars parked along the street there as well. There was a gathering, a demonstration, a protest march last night. Her name is Renee Good. She had recently moved from Colorado to be, quote unquote, part of the scene. My words, not anybody else's. Neighbors say back in Colorado that she and her wife and their kid and their dogs, they had heard, were going to move to Canada because they were so upset about politics in the United States. So that maybe gives you a little bit of an idea who we are talking about here. We're going to dive into more about what we know about this whole thing coming up in just a little bit. As I mentioned off the top of the show, Fargo's trying to figure out how to enforce food cart regulations as tensions are growing downtown. There was a listening session at City Hall last night to gather input from local food cart and downtown stakeholders. Rocky Schneider will be by with us here in a little bit to talk more about that. The North Dakota Republican Convention that is being set for March 28th and 29th in Minot has announced its featured speaker, Royce White. He's a U.S. Senate candidate for Minnesota, former NBA basketball player. He will speak to the delegates during the opening night social at the state convention. This will be on Friday, March 27th in Minot. One kind of footnote on the Minneapolis story, Minneapolis Public Schools has canceled classes and activities for today and tomorrow. They say it's because of safety concerns following Wednesday's fatal shooting. Just a quick editorial comment here. We kind of look toward mayors and governors to sort of keep the peace, keep some sense of normalcy going, keep the kids in their routines. Why are we canceling basketball games and school events and school itself here over the next couple of days? If you want to talk about nighttime activities, I guess I can see that, but it feels like kids may need school on a day like today, but they will not get school in the state of Minneapolis, or in the city of Minneapolis there. CNBC reports a planned job cuts totaled 35,553 for the month. That's a 50% drop from November and an 8% decrease from the same period a year ago. It's the lowest number since July of 2024. So layoffs are being trimmed back. The job cuts are being cut, I guess you might say. President Trump says he's immediately taking steps to ban large institutional investors from buying more single-family homes. He says people live in homes, not corporations. Private equity giants and real estate investment trusts have amassed big portfolios of single-family rental homes over the past decade. A lot of them are being lived in. So you're getting a nation of renters, not buyers. The president says that's not a good thing. Many have argued that these investments have reduced housing supply for would-be homeowners and have helped drive up prices. He may have a point on that one. I think that's very interesting. The United States trade deficit in October has hit the smallest number since 2009. I would say the Trump tariff moves have had something to do with this. But the trade deficit, 6 months into the president's trade plan, tumbled to its lowest level since mid-2009, the Commerce Department reported yesterday. So we're making some ground, making some progress in those areas as well. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln and Wappan, where 15 minutes or less will get you into a new car, truck, or SUV. You can call us today, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. Email studio at flagfamily.com. Text line is 701-237-1590. Hope you'll be able to be part of the program today. Story of the day. Some say a cop killed a harmless mom. Some say the woman was the attacker. What I saw and what I make of this. Coming up next. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about this idea about limiting private businesses, corporations, yes, but private businesses, from buying properties across this country. We're going to talk to Jenny Schuster, 25-year real estate veteran, about that. First, though, I want to give you my thoughts, my comments on what happened yesterday. I'm going to tell you two things. First of all, what I saw, and then what I make of it. So what I saw is this. The video starts at a basic, nondescript scene. There's a mini SUV in the middle of the street. Unassuming scene, really. Nothing seems to be going on there, but the vehicle is approached by officers. Clearly don't want her there. Clearly that vehicle shouldn't be there, but it's a very calm scene at this point. Officer, as he approaches the car, puts his hand on the door handle and asks the woman to get out who is behind the wheel. We didn't know it was a woman at that time, but it was. The vehicle backs up. The car stops as a law enforcement officer draws his weapon. Not the guy with the hand on the side, a door handle. This is somebody at the front of the car now, and points the weapon at the driver. They're telling her, get out of the car. But the car stops going backward, rests for a second, and then goes forward with the ice cop at the front of the car. Car can't get a lot of traction because there's some ice there, but it contacts a law enforcement officer as it's moving forward. The car then turns, starts to accelerate at a high rate of speed at almost exactly the time the officer who was at the front of the vehicle pulls the trigger and there are gunshots, three or four of them. The woman is killed during the process. The vehicle crashes into some other cars and it's over. The officer does not appear injured at that point, clearly was, because the officer ended up in the hospital, according to Christy Noem. The woman is dead. The story is off and running. Here's what I make of it. There are a lot of things here that maybe go, why was there someone taking video of this scene? Why did they pick it all up in perfect timing of when this interaction starts? Did they know something was about to happen? Was this some sort of predetermined scene that people were going to cause? I don't know. I'm just wondering. Who was this woman? Well, we know that she was a white lesbian woman, a citizen, married to another woman, had a dog and a kid. Had recently moved from Colorado to Minneapolis after the 2024 election to be closer to where all these things are going on. Isn't that interesting? Neighbors back in Colorado said they heard the family had moved to Canada after the election. So obviously they are true believers, thinking about moving to Canada because they're so upset about Donald Trump winning the election. Reports that the woman taking the video was her wife. That's been reported elsewhere in some places. Don't know. But that's what's being reported. Witnesses, just regular people nearby, say the driver of the vehicle had been creating problems for ICE all day. So everybody's tensions are high. If you watch the vehicle, the first move is forward, and the first thing that happens in the sequence of deadly events are that the woman moves the car forward, wheels pointed straight ahead toward the officer that was at the front of the car. She then contacts the officer, not at a very high rate of speed, but she was accelerating, kind of going from basically a parked or neutral or zero position to making contact. And then after making contact with the officer, turns the wheel, tries to drive off. That's when she is shot. Why was the woman's partner or whatever, whoever it was, even if she wasn't recording this? Were they expecting something to happen? Was this a planned scene? I saw somebody say this morning that this is a Rorschach test. That's a perfect description of it. Really. You know what a Rorschach test is? You look at a blob of ink, just some weird image on paper, and what do you see? Well, you're going to see what you want to see. Half the people are going to say, well, the cop murdered the woman in broad daylight. Half the people are going to say the woman tried to run over, the guy had it coming. Since I saw this, it's easy to say, everyone else should have seen it this way too, including the cop. But you don't know what the cop saw. You don't know what the cop felt. You don't know the past history. You don't know the background. You don't know what they had picked up on. You don't know what they perceived from their angle and their position that you didn't. The guy who pulled the trigger was looking right into that vehicle and clearly saw the woman at very close range. Don't know what he saw in the car. What were her facial expressions? What was she doing? We don't know any of that. There's so much that we don't know that we never will. I'm always leery of expressing judgments in these cases, especially early on when the facts are still being put together. It is easier when there's video. But none of us know what that officer had seen at that moment and what that officer had seen all day. And until you know, you don't really know. I will always have a bias toward law enforcement, and that's a bias I have to be aware of, too. I will not see these incidents clearly because I have a bias. It comes from a lifetime of evidence, things that I've seen along the way that creates a truth for me that law enforcement is trying to keep order and not cause disorder. And if you follow their instructions, you will not get hurt or killed 99.99999% of the time. This is a sad story. A loss of life is always a tragedy. But there is one person responsible for that woman being fired upon. She could have just chosen not to be there to start with, back in Colorado or Canada or wherever, or just spending time at the library that day or going to a job or whatever. When they told her to get out of the car, she should have. When they grabbed the door handle of the car, she should have let them open the door. But she didn't do any of those things. She put herself in the position where something could happen, and it did. Reports are that there were three ramming incidents earlier that day in that area. The kids have an expression these days, she effed around and found out. That's really what happened here. And for what? What did she accomplish? What did she gain? What could she have done that would have really mattered in any way? It's clear to me that these protests, the marches that followed last night, were designed to bring out a George Floyd kind of response. And for a few NPR Karens, it will. But for most people, this goes back to the sheep theory. This is their religion, their moral compass. And for many, like this woman, apparently, it's how they find virtue. They may not have it any other way. They may not have a faith story. This is their way of trying to be a redemptive good for society. It's sad. A loss of life always is. A mom, a partner, all of that. But it was so preventable. So preventable. And when you put a law enforcement officer in a position where they have to start making choices without time to think, you get fatal results. I do believe that a lot of this psychotic behavior is being fueled by Minnesota government leaders. Tim Walz said yesterday when he had his press conference, huffing and puffing, we are at war with the federal government. I might bring out the National Guard. Well, what is that going to do? That's going to incite emotions. Jacob Frey, the Minneapolis mayor, get the F out of here. Wow. We know this. The radical left, I'm not going to say the North Dakota Democrat here. I'm talking about the radical left. They love disorder. They love chaos. Today, some of the protests are going on. Do you notice anything? It's loud. There's a lot of profanity. There are people that are banging cowbells. I believe the far left figureheads wanted violence. They wanted a shooting. They don't care about this woman. This is a flashpoint they can use to scale up the rent of mobs, and they can raise money off of that. And the president has said, we're not going to take it anymore. There will be a low-level lawsuit here that'll get a little bit of traction, but it'll die in federal courts because nothing's provable here. But beware, when you throw ice, chunks of snow at officers, that's assault. You could get arrested on that too. Steve Holzman Show back after this. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has dedicated his professional life to transforming smiles. What a great job, right? And he also restores confidence by doing that one patient at a time. When you meet him, you'll feel it. It's not just a job, it's his calling. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, Dr. Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, and everyone in between. Whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here with skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today, DakotaDentalImplant.com today. Tell me what you think we need to be thinking about with this situation that happened in Minneapolis. What's the thing that we should be thinking about right now? I'd love to hear from you. We're going to do that here in just a few minutes. coming up in our next segment. First, though, I want to invite in to the program a good friend of mine who has been kind enough to share a little bit of time with us here today, Jenny Schuster with Park Company Realtors. She's only 27 years old, but she's been doing real estate for 25 years. Somehow it's magically happened that way. She got a ton of experience, but a good friend and always a great source of knowledge. We've had her on the program from time to time. Jenny, thank you for coming in. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, and thanks for having me today.
Yeah, appreciate your time on this one. So I saw this story yesterday. Trump says he's going to ban large investors from buying homes. And I've thought about this a little bit because I have a couple of little tiny rental properties down in Phoenix. And I get calls all the time from these people that want to buy my home, right? And it's all these BlackRocks and institutional investors. They're trying to buy a billion homes so they can rent them out. It's a business thing for them. The president is saying, though, people are supposed to live in homes, not corporations buying them to rent them out. So I want to know from someone in the real estate business, what goes through your mind when you see this story come out?
I think in our city, we aren't seeing it as much as they are in the larger cities, first of all. But second of all, I do think home ownership is for individuals. There's nothing wrong with large companies. I feel buying, you know, being limited in purchases, but we're seeing, you know, in the news, all the agents are talking about this now. We have been for a while. There's one company that has 86,000 homes. And we, at one point, Amazon wanted to buy a ton of homes because they wanted to implement their items inside of those homes. So at that point...
Oh, wow. What?
Really? Yeah. Yep.
What, for what purpose? To just to make it look nice to sell them?
I think it was their gadgets, their, you know, obviously like Echo, you know, all those things
okay.
that they have.
Yeah.
So, well, there actually be Alexa, you know?
Yeah, right.
So...
Okay. So anyway, they wanted to buy a bunch of houses.
Yeah, to have a bunch of homes to implement their products inside of it. And so when you look at something like that as a real estate agent, if I were in one of the larger cities where that was happening and I am competing... A young buyer with somebody who's coming in with cash, they will lose every single time or almost every single time. So I think in our area, we've had it. It's very limited here. Doesn't mean that it's not coming here, but I think it's there's two sides of it. I think it can be a great for homeowners. However, also, those larger companies have been driving some of the real estate business. So there's a double-edged sword on that.
Okay. So, yeah, from... But from your standpoint as just a local realtor, you probably don't get as involved or you probably don't make your typical commissions when Amazon comes in and says, hey, we're going to just pay you cash for this deal because there's no deal to really be done.
Well, I think, you know, I had an a large group reach out to me last year and asked me if I would help them facilitate the purchase of many, many homes here.
Oh.
And I declined.
You did?
I did. They wanted to have cutthroat purchases. So that also affects the community. You know, if they're coming in super low on housing and sellers are being impacted, it also, then they're going to raise them and inflate them when they sell them. I had received maybe five or six calls and he said, nope, you're the one. And I said, no, I'm not. So
okay.
I don't know if somebody said yes, but I was unwilling.
I guess everybody's got to make a decision. What's right? What did it come down to for you? What was the ultimate decision-making piece for you?
I think when he told me how they were going to come in and just slash the price, you know, come in cutthroat on the offers, and I, when he was telling me the number, he was telling me the amounts of like you want five or six blocks. I was out because I'm thinking of my clients and other people's clients, young homebuyers, you know, other people, you know, people on fixed incomes, you can't compete with that. And so I just didn't want to be part of that process.
I struggle a little bit because I'm one of those people that says, keep the government out of business and what happens when we, if you and I want to sell something between, a government shouldn't be involved in that. Let's keep the government doing the things only the government can do that we can't do for ourselves. But in some way, I like this idea, too, that there are times like when Nippon Steel in Pittsburgh or where it was going to sell to Japan or something. It felt like, oh, this is a time when maybe the government should step in and maybe not let certain things happen. And if we do want to be a nation of owners and not a nation of renters, God bless. I've rented many times and for a certain time early in life, all that we all get it. But our communities are better when we're owning homes and not renting them as a whole, I think.
Correct. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything. Yes, I rented for years also. I think it's important to have those as well. But when you are, when they're, what they're looking at is when it's blocks and blocks and blocks being purchased and just for the sole purpose of renting and then fixing that rent, raising that rent, and then also raising those prices. So it becomes where all of a sudden, do we want a city of just pure rentals? I mean, I don't think so. I think you want to have people, there's a mix, there's a happy medium. So I think if they can limit it, you know, I think that's the goal. I mean, at least that's what I perceive from that and from what the other agents are saying. It probably needs to be a little bit more regulated. Mm. And I also am like, I don't want government in on everything.
Yeah.
I believe in free and fair market. I think you should be able to do whatever you want with your home. However, I think there's, like I said, there's that other side of that to be thinking about.
Yeah, I agree. Do most of our neighborhoods, we're not a big HOA kind of town here, but like where in other parts, like everybody is part of an HOA and the HOA has rules or whatever. But in Fargo, West Fargo, Moorhead, you know this whole area. Do we have a lot of places where there's a homeowner association that says you can't rent your house out, or can people kind of do what they want to do with their with the properties they own here?
There are a few that have that. Not as many as you'd probably expect, but I'd say maybe I think there's maybe one or two that I know of that has that in place. And then oftentimes you can appeal, you know, to the board. Most of these boards are older, so there's maybe one person you have to hunt down to see if they'll allow that. But it's not heavily regulated. We only see that in condos, maybe townhomes, but we do not see that in neighborhoods themselves as much.
When you talked earlier about having a young couple coming in wanting to get their first house, that's hard anyway to find a house that's affordable with two people on, you know, just out of school budgets or just out of high school or whatever. What is that experience like ordinarily for them trying to find something? And then how does this make it harder when there's this other kind of influence coming in, maybe a cash buyer coming in from a corporate sort of a buying perspective?
Well, depending upon how the market is right now, we have been slower, and obviously it's a winter. Our inventory isn't very strong either. So right now, if those rates tip down, we are going to see quite a bit of momentum. I think anywhere in the mid to low fives, it's going to move like crazy. But what we see, well, like during COVID, if I had a first-time home buyer, I would be writing 13 offers until we secured a property because we were losing to people who came in with cash or could just really jump over the asking price. So for the first-time home buyers, I mean, I can't even tell you when I would finally call a client because every call was like, I'm really sorry we lost it. I'm really sorry we lost it. Mm. And then finally we got the house, and it was oftentimes just tears. Mm. So they are just trying to get into something to gain some traction for themselves financially, because real estate does drive the economy, but it also drives personal wealth. I believe if you make the right choice, you can actually really put money in your pocket.
You know, I have always believed that too. I'm starting to think more about that now because of how expensive it is to buy insurance for your house and how expensive it is to pay your taxes on your house, right? Is that equation changing, do you think? Because it is getting, like, yeah, great to have a house, you're building equity, but you're having to pay so much more now for everything to keep that house. Is that changing at all?
Not yet.
Okay.
The taxes, you know, I mean, they're just going up because values are going up. And honestly, I just think at some point there's going to have to be some tipping point where things maybe go backwards, but I can't imagine how or when that would happen. It's been hard on some people, especially those with fixed incomes. You know, when their taxes are going so high, it's hard for them to keep up. Mm. I just think for first-time home buyers, if they can just even get in, you know, I always look at the house. I always think if I would have bought a house in eighth grade, I'd be upset. Yeah. Or if I would have just bought all the farmland in South Fargo in eighth grade.
Kidding.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Gosh, what was I thinking? Mm. But even for like these young people, if they can just get in, yes, it's going to be expensive, but so is rent. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those places are $2,500 a month.
That's true too.
That's
rent's
crazy.
No bargain anymore either.
Yeah.
Interest rates, you talked about, I see the national people who look at everything all across the board say we're about 6.19, 6.2. What are we here? If someone's got good credit and you can put your 20% down, what are we looking at for rates on a 30 here?
So they've been jumping around, depending upon the fees and everything, because when they have that, you know, that amount that you're talking, 6.195 or whatever, they also incorporate some of those fees. But some of the ones that I get coming back to me are at 5.875.
Oh, okay.
But again, if we got into those low fives, you know, that would be phenomenal.
Okay.
People would take that jump again, I think.
So five, let's say you're at six or a little under that. Is that with like no discount points, no buying of the rate, or with that's just 0 points in that deal? So you can get under six now.
Yeah, right. Okay. We've been seeing it. Yep.
Okay, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Because I've heard that five is kind of the psychological barrier.
Right.
At five, like, okay, if you had to move, you can live with it and sleep at night. You'd love it if you were a little bit lower there. And they're talking about maybe more interest rate cuts this year. So maybe that bleeds over and we get there.
I hope so. They've been talking about it for a long time. And so we would hear it would come in the fall. Oh, it's going to come in the spring. It's going to come in the fall. So now I just tell people, I have no idea. This is what they're saying. But when it happens, then it's happening.
Yeah. So. We have an audience out in Western North Dakota, too, in this on this program. Do you know much? Are things similar out there, too, with where we're at as far as supply and demand on homes and what's available? Is it kind of tough everywhere?
You know, it's interesting because I talk to a lot of agents that are out west, but also in Minnesota by the Lakes Country. Some of those, you know, like Brainerd area, she said it is super busy there. Oh. They have not seen any slowdown over there. In Western North Dakota, I think it has been slower. There are some areas like Minot, they told me they're pretty steady. Bismarck's pretty steady also. I always tell people we're kind of in this little bubble here. We're very different from any national area. And during the COVID, we didn't have the party, so we didn't end up with a hangover. Mm. So we've kind of been protected, but I would like to continue to see the steady market, but it'd be really nice if it increased a little bit for the sellers and for, you know, them to be able to get their properties moved.
We'll continue to watch what happens on the national scene, what the president does. We'll be excited to see what happens here locally as well. If people want to get in touch with you and ask you a few questions, how do they do that?
They can call me at 701-729-5851 or at jennyschuster@parkcompany.com.
Jenny Schuster, S-C-H-U-S-T-E-R. Thank you, Jenny, for coming by.
Thanks so
Great
much.
To
I
see
appreciate
you again.
It.
What do we not yet know about the Minneapolis incident, and how much to blame are the governor and the mayor? We'll talk about that as we continue on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Don't go away. For me, the biggest thing that I think we need to think about based on what happened yesterday, but really it's a continuation of a trend that started probably back in Ferguson, Missouri in the summer of 2014. Remember, hands up, don't shoot. And turns out it really wasn't that at all. But that was kind of the first big law enforcement, what are we doing, tangling with them, and somebody who should have been somewhere else doing something else ended up dead when they shouldn't have been. For me, the question is this: why do we not respect law enforcement anymore? It used to be when you'd see a crime scene going on or police working, you know, pulling over a car, anything like that. Growing up, there was a healthy fear there. You just stayed away. You didn't want to get involved. You didn't want to, you went around it. You didn't try to get in the middle of it. And I suppose it wasn't that, you know, I've grown to really have an admiration for law enforcement more than like the healthy fear respect thing. Cause I've gotten to know people like Jesse Johnner and, you know, David Todd and Brian Neewen and people like that. And these are good, good, good people. And they're doing it for the right reasons. I mean, you'd want your daughters to date guys like this. They're just good people when you get to know them. And I've gotten to know them that way. Now, is every law enforcement situation perfect? No, of course not. We get that. There's bad apples in every bunch. But on the whole, we have really good people in law enforcement. And it used to be we respected them. What happened? If this woman yesterday would have been sitting at the library, I call it the library principle. If Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri would have been at the library reading books or at basketball practice, I've used that one too, nothing would have happened. He would be alive today. If this woman, Renee Good, had been at the library or at basketball practice, she'd be just fine today. But no, they get involved. They put themselves in a position where something could happen. So what do you think needs to be said here? What is it we need to be thinking about? 271-1100, that's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Got a bunch of texts, too, but phone calls come first. So we're going to take Henry first. Hi, Henry. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. Hey, yeah, so everybody kind of forgets, too, there's a lot of things, a lot of balls in the air, but there was a congressional hearing with all the whistleblowers yesterday testifying that Walz knew about this stuff, was going after whistleblowers, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah, the fraud stuff, yep.
Yep, so all that's not being talked about because of this deal. And then I just heard on Joel Heidkamp, Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, telling us with my lying eyes didn't see her hit that officer. I mean, people have to realize there is not a Democratic Party anymore. These people are struggling to keep their control because Trump has the receipts on their corruption. These people are all corrupt. California is next, like they say. There is no Democratic Party. They don't give anything about America. They give anything about you. They want to steal our money and steal our country, hands down. You can't convince me any other way.
Yeah, Henry, thanks for calling. Good point, Sarah. I'm going to let you go because there's a few others holding. Like I said, this is a Rorschach test. You're going to see what you want to see. That's the way people are. We see what we want to see. We ignore what we don't. But if you look objectively at this, the car makes contact with the law enforcement officer with the wheels pointed straight ahead before the shots are fired. And that's why this will never go anywhere really in court, because there's no way to prove that there was, bad intentions here. John is next up on the phone line. That opens up a phone line for you, by the way, 271-1100. Hi, John.
Morning, Steve. Have you ever heard the term stochastic terrorism?
No.
Stochastic terrorism is when a public figure uses mass media to demonize a group of people or a group to incite others towards violence against those groups.
I see where you're going on this one.
Plausible deniability that, hey, I didn't do anything. I didn't incite
a
riot.
Right.
But you incited all these other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's what that's where we should be looking at. What's the cause of this? I agree with you. Like this lady, tragic death. I'm not happy about it. Was it her moral compass? Like, she was trying to do good. Like, if you call somebody a Nazi, who doesn't want to stop a Nazi?
Yeah.
Right? Who doesn't want to stop somebody who's evil?
Yes.
I mean, and it's the demonization by public figures with the cooperation of mass media that's really, I think, is driving all this.
John, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to let you go because the phone lines are full, but thank you, John. Really good points. Paul, you get the last word on this one in this hour. We'll get a chance to talk about it more second hour, but what's on your mind with this today?
Well, that gentleman before me just kind of said what I was going to say. It's the political leaders. You know, their rhetoric is dangerous. Maxine Waters, even Barack Obama, has said, get in the Republicans' faces.
Yep.
Barack Obama was blaming the cops for that arrest of Henry Gates. That the cops acted stupidly. That's not the way you talk about cops. That's authoritative figures that you've got to respect. And the mainstream media, the social media, I think, is a cancer on our society, on our kids. It's the teachings of the schools. They don't teach respect to the kids anymore. They teach them to disrespect. That's what I believe. But, you know, I grew up in a different era.
Yeah, same.
I grew up in the 70s.
Paul, thanks a lot for calling. Got to let you go just because we're up against the clock here, but thank you very much. We get where you're going on that. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on this one. We'll keep this conversation going second hour. The key three, the three most consequential stories in the news cycle coming up next. Steve Hallstrom Show, don't go away. Hour number two, the Steve Hallstrom Show, brought to you by Row and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. RowandJoeJunk.com is the website, RoenJoeJunk.com. When it's got to go, call Row and Joe. That's what I say. Whether you've got something on a commercial site, whether it's residential, maybe you got a granary, an old shed, whatever it is. If you got to get rid of it, my buddy John Minton at Row and Joe Junk Haul and Removal, he's the guy to call. Don't call those 1-800 out-of-town folks. They don't know how we get jobs done here. You want somebody who's going to put his name on it, who's going to put his family's name on it, get that job done well, get it done quickly, get it done with quality and at a very fair price. John's a 30-year combat vet, so you think that there's any issue with him getting a job done well? Absolutely not. That's the guy. That's the place. Those are the people. Row and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. RoenJoeJunk.com. Row and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. You put a veteran on the job, you know it's going to get done. And done well. No doubt about that. And they bring you this hour of the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right. It's time for the key three. We do this every day at 10 o'clock. Where I give you what I believe to be are the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. These go maybe a little deeper than your typical headlines you might see in the drive-by news cycle, to principles and pieces of our character, things that really matter to us here. Try to do my best to give you something to think about in addition to just a run-of-the-mill news story. I have kind of a three-for-one almost to start out with here, so I'm cheating just a little bit here since this is the key of three. But there's a lot going on with economic news today. And I know when I say economic news, national, like in a federal numbers show, it can be easy to feel like, oh my gosh, wake me up when it's over. But these things I think really matter, and they matter in what you and I pay for things, how much money is available, what the markets look like, what options are out there for us. So there's a whole bunch of economic data that's hitting today. The first piece of this is that the United States trade deficit in October hit the smallest number since 2009. Okay, 2009. If you're like me, you're like, oh, 2009, that was a couple of years ago. And you, no, it was like 20 years ago. So it's been a while. But the U.S. trade deficit, 6 months into President Trump's tariffs and trade policy, took a big drop. And we're at the lowest level since mid-2009, second quarter of 2009, when we were coming out of the Great Recession and the financial crisis. You remember all that? So the story goes like this. With exports rising and imports falling, the trade shortfall was $29.4 billion for October, down 39% from the month before. Exports, listen here. Exports increased 2.6%, while imports slipped 3.2%. Well, there's something to look at here. Now, I know that you can look at all this and say, okay, well, there's a lot of little things that might have made. Yeah, but at its essence, the core of this story is that U.S. companies were making more stuff here because we're exporting more and we're importing less. So this is a very good thing. And whether you can fully explain it or you know how to talk it at the dinner table doesn't really matter. All you need to know and be able to tell people who the conversation might come up with, hey, we're importing less and exporting more. That's a good thing. Trump is doing something good if you're trying to argue that point of the conversation. So I thought that was good. Another piece of data came out today that announced layoffs fell sharply in December, hitting a 17-month low. This is a potential sign, experts say, that the labor market is at least stabilizing. Planned job cuts totaled 35,553 for the month. That's a 50% slide from November. This is the lowest total since July of 2024. Since then, there have been a lot of companies that have been running into, you know, tough things. High cost of everything, Biden inflation, a cost of getting the supplies and goods in to make your product and all of that. So we've got a little bit better piece of data coming in here. Now, there have been job cuts, but it looks like the layoffs have been slowing down. Hiring is not picking up all that fast, but at least the layoffs and the job cuts and the facilities closing and things like that, on the whole, getting a little bit better. So again, another solid win. Third, the Bureau of Labor Statistics came out today with its non-farm business sector productivity report. And this is not GDP. I'll explain the difference in a minute. But what you have to know is that this productivity measure increased 4.9% in the third quarter of the year. This productivity report measures output per hour worked within our economy. It doesn't include farms. It doesn't include government. This is not GDP because GDP is measuring the value of all the goods and services that we make here. This measure shows how efficiently that output is being produced by you and me, the people that make the labor. So we're getting more efficient. That means businesses are getting smarter, able to produce more things with the same resources, the same team, the same people, the same machinery, the same facilities, the same physical plant. So businesses are getting sharper, smarter, and more efficient in how they do their things. Those are the three data pieces that have been released this morning. I'm not trying to cherry pick the best stuff that shows well for Trump. I am a fan of the Trump economy and what he's doing in the business world, but I will tell you if there are some things that don't look good. But this morning, the three pieces that have come out all look very solid. That's story number one. Story number two, The president says, maybe something that will affect some of these reports down the line, that he's immediately taking steps to ban large institutional investors from buying more single-family homes. He said, people live in homes, not corporations. And private equity giants and real estate trusts and people like that have piled up huge portfolios of single-family homes that they rent out. And it's probably a pretty good business, but we're a better country when we are owning rather than we have people renting. When you're renting, you don't really have skin in the game. You're not going to treat it well. You're not going to do landscaping. You're not going to, you know, want to rake the yard. I mean, it's just a rent versus buy kind of a thing. Well, the president says, look, I'm a business guy. I want to see people making money. But this might be one time where we have to kind of change the rules a little bit. And as a free market guy and who tries to be a very true conservative in this area, I don't like it, but I get it and I kind of like it at the same time. It's like when, you know, Nippon Steel or U.S. Steel wanted to sell to Nippon in Japan. Well, I don't want the government to get involved with that, but it is a big piece of our steel making capability. I don't want it owned by Japan. So there's some of those things. It's like the TIFs and the pilot programs. I think some of that makes sense. I do. There are some exceptions. So I'm maybe not as much of a true conservative as others in that area, but those principles, they really do work, and I think they make some sense. So I kind of don't like it, and I kind of do. That's story number two. Story number three, Minneapolis Public Schools has canceled classes and activities for Thursday and Friday. I could be in the vast minority on this, but to me, this is an escalation. Two reasons. Number one, if you want calm and you want order, which most of us do, but the far left does not. They want disorder and chaos. If you want order and calm, you get kids back to school. And when you have 16, 17-year-old, 15-year-old kids who don't have anything to do because there's no school, what are they going to do? They're going to go, hey, what's going on? There's a bunch of people getting together. Let's go. I don't know. I feel like we want kids in school. And I get it. There is concern about heightened tensions and all of this. I do understand all that. Sometimes you're not choosing between great options. You're choosing between bad options and worse options. This might be one of those times. But I don't want kids not in school because a lot of those kids, I'm not going to say most or all, but a lot, more than two, are not going to have a parent there to watch them. Parents don't know what parents, sometimes some parents don't even care. White, black, doesn't matter. I'm just saying parents. You might have a whole bunch of kids out with nothing to do today, and idle hands are the devil's playground, right? Isn't that what they say? So this makes me nervous. There's no activities. There's no school. So no high school basketball games tomorrow on Friday night, which is what we like to do on Friday nights. No school, no activities, no band practice after school for your special ensembles or whatever. I don't know. I don't like it. That's just me. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But to me, this feels like an escalation, an escalatory step. And we don't need any more of that based on the scenes I'm seeing from Minneapolis here already, which is already very tense, a bit of a powder keg going on down there. So those are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today, the key three. When we come back, the best thing I heard all day, CNN's Scott Jennings had the best commentary I heard all day about the Minneapolis situation. I'll play it for you. Coming up next on the Steve Austin Show. Have you noticed how many Vision Ford vehicles and Vision Lincolns you're seeing? Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, Eastern North Dakota, probably out Western North Dakota too. Well, one of those new vehicles is mine. They make sure that you have a great experience. It's fast. I know that. When you make that decision, say, let's do it, the paperwork's done in 15 minutes. You drive that car home that same day. That's how it happened with me. Actually, they brought it to my house at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. They're really good about that. They say, hey, we know you got a job. We know you're working, but we'll get that car to you after hours. Those are people I like because I try to work after hours for my clients too. So when you're talking my language, those are the kind of people I want to do business with. DriveWithVision.com, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton, DriveWithVision.com. 1020 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And this is when we do our segment each day called The Best Thing I Heard All Day. An audio clip of something I saw or something that I heard that I thought, wow, that was really good. And I have to give credit to Scott Van Pelt on ESPN because he does a segment called Best Thing I Saw All Day. And so I'm borrowing that from Scott with a credit there. I don't know that he would care, but hey, credit where credit's due. But I love that idea. What's the best thing I heard all day? And hopefully, if I share it with you, you'll say, you know what? I see where that Hallstrom character, he's a bit of a wacko sometimes, but I see where he's coming from on this. So Scott Jennings is one of the heroes of the conservative movement. If you don't know who that is, he is a panelist, a regular panelist on CNN, the token conservative, the token common sense guy in a room full of wackos, I guess is the word I'll use there. No, that's not fair. Some of them aren't so bad. There are a couple of them anyway. So he, like he has done so many times, had a very good way of summarizing this and making the most important thing the most important thing. And here's how that sounded.
What strikes me is, first of all, it's extremely sad and unfortunate that someone died. I mean, the political fighting and disagreements aside, it's terrible. You know, you don't want people to die in law enforcement situations or otherwise. But it strikes me that we are undergoing an epidemic of political vigilantism right now. Why are people showing up in vehicles, in convoys, not just in Minneapolis, but all over the country in an effort to obstruct lawful federal law enforcement activities? This is not an isolated incident. We have had hundreds of car rammings against ICE agents all over the country. According to DHS, this lady in this car today, along with other vehicles, had been tracking ICE agents around. Why are people believing that they can drive their car into a federal law enforcement situation and that is an appropriate thing to do? Mm-hmm. I understand they don't like the fact that these agents are enforcing existing immigration law, but that's not how we change laws in this country. If you don't like a law, you talk to the politicians. You don't drive your car into the middle of a building or a law enforcement situation that's being occupied by the people who are simply there to enforce the law. If I don't like how much the IRS is charging me in taxes, I don't drive my car into the Treasury Department and try to run somebody over. I call my congressman. Political vigilantism is being encouraged by Democratic officials like the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan, who earlier this year told people to, quote, put your bodies on the line, and Tim Walz calling these guys Gestapo all year. What do you think happens when you radicalize a base of people about this?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100% right. It made a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way, but he's right. We got cars showing up all over there. Why are people driving vehicles into the middle of hot spots? Why? It's a really good question. Well, because this is how somebody wrote the playbook, right? Whoever is orchestrating the rent-a-mob, that this is part of it. Get your vehicle in there. You get a little bit of protection, but you can just kind of clog things up. We block traffic. We take our cars and we block traffic, or maybe we sit in front of traffic too, but vehicles seem to be the thing, right? And for a long time, the people who hate the guns were saying, well, the guns are the whole problem. Well, we're finding out that the vehicles can be a problem here too. Great analogy. If I don't like my tax bill, I don't drive into the IRS. And he also is doing a really good job there of saying, hey, look, these are people that are enforcing the law. They have a job to do. And whether we like the law or not, this is not how you change it. These are people that are executing the orders, carrying out the orders that they have been charged to do. They have to do that or they lose their job. Now, of course, the wackos on the far left are going to say, well, you should stand up for, you shouldn't be working in an industry and whatever. But these guys that are doing this, they didn't get into this line of work to be involved in this kind of a powder keg going on in our country right now. They got involved for, you know, whatever. It's part of the law enforcement mantra that they vowed to protect and take when they took the job. Now they're finding themselves in places they probably don't want to be. These guys kind of like being part of the action. I don't know that anybody likes standing there and listening to people like what's happening today at these ICE operations in the Twin Cities, and the people are showing up. Apparently, they're on their way to their jobs. Maybe they're on their way to work. No, that's not working, is it? Nobody's buying that. They're just doing their job, and you're ramming into them. You're distracting them. You're getting in the way. In this case, we don't know what this woman's intent was. You can't hear from this video. Was the engine revving as the woman started for? We just don't know. We don't know any of that. But these vehicles are way too much in the middle of too many things. And good on Scott Jennings for saying it very well. All right, it is time for us to do a qualifier for our Valentine's Day trip of a lifetime. Two round-trip tickets to Vegas, $500 cash, hotel stay, and two tickets to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day. Rich Eggert of Moorhead, you have 11 minutes to call in and claim your spot at the big drawing party that we're having on February 3rd over at Kingpin's in Fargo. So no matter where you are, state of North Dakota, state of Minnesota, wherever, if you can get here for the party, make sure that you're signing up for this. AM1100theflag.com is where you do it. So get involved that way, and we might be calling your name tomorrow at 10 a.m. So Rich Eggert, if you know Rich, call him. Go over to his house. If you work with him, go down the hall to his office, whatever. Let him know that he's got to give a call, and he may very well win this trip. All right, 10:27, 27 past the hour here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Let's try to sneak in a call quick here. Crystal wants to talk about the Minneapolis shooting. Crystal, give me your best 30 seconds. What should we be thinking about here?
Well, I agree with the political vigilantism, and that all got started way back in 2020 with Black Lives Matter getting away with burning down the town of Minneapolis.
Yes.
And once you let those people get by with all that stuff, and then you have Antifa taking police officers in New York and pounding on them, and then they use their phones and get the picture, post it all stuff, say rah-rah for anarchy. They celebrate anarchy and chaos, and it's time to put a stop to it. Governor Wall saying there's a war. We're not at war. He's at war with the government, and he's trying to, you know, distract everybody from all the fraud and the investigations that are going on right now.
Yeah.
And you know, trying to say, well, we're going to send in the National Guard against ICE.
Yep, that's right.
So totally wrong.
Crystal, thanks for calling. We got to run just because we're out of time, but thank you very much. Yeah, 100% right. Okay, I called Rocky Schneider. Rocky's agreed to come in next week. I want to give time for us to talk this through. So you tell me, 271-1100, what do we need to be thinking about and talking about right now with this whole thing? Let me know what you think about that. Be back with more on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hey, we have a winner. Yes, Rich Eggert of Moorhead is on the phone, and he is now guaranteed to have a spot at the giveaway party on February 3rd over at Kingpin's. Rich, welcome to the show. Thank you for giving a call in. You were on the ball quick today. Were you listening, or did somebody call you and say, give a call over to that flag show?
I actually had you on an earbud at work. I was kind of listening to your program.
So. Okay, wonderful. Well, we appreciate that very much. So this is a pretty fun deal here, Rich. Valentine's Day in Vegas. You've been to Vegas before?
I have. I have a very good friend who works out there.
Oh, nice.
Manages a couple of casinos, so.
Oh, there you go. All right. What do you like to do? Do you like to play a few of the games yourself, or you just like the scenery and the food and the entertainment? What do you like to do when you go out there?
The second one, exactly. The shows, the food, a little bit of blackjack, but you're not going to make money in Vegas.
There's a reason those buildings are all really nice over there in Vegas, isn't there? Yeah. So yes, have you been to the Sphere yet?
I have not. We were out there last, and we saw it being constructed. But I've heard him talk about it, and my wife would love the Wizard of Oz. I know that.
Yeah, well, Jay Thomas and Alex, they went out there a few weeks back, and they said it was unbelievable. So, well, we're crossing our fingers for you, my man, but glad that you are listening. Glad that you are confirmed for your spot at the giveaway party, and we'll see you on February 3rd over at Kingpin's. Thanks a ton for listening to the show today. While I have you here, why do you like listening to the flag?
Why do I like the flag? Because it's a beacon of reason. That's why. Yeah, I like the program. You guys are nailing it. Pray for the country.
Yeah, well, pray for the country. That is 100% right. Hey, Rich, thanks a lot. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you on February 3rd. You take care.
Thank you, Steve. You too.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, Rich Eggert, he's in line. You can be too. AM1100theflag.com. It's very easy to get signed up. You just got to register there, and then you go in the drawings when we pull names out of the hat each day when we're trying to decide, you know, who we're going to call and give that opportunity to. And then on February 3rd, the big drawing, and it should be a heck of a lot of fun. The promotion that we're doing here, Valentine's Day in Vegas. I call it the Valentine's Trip of a Lifetime, brought to you by Alsager Meats. AllSagerMeats.com, from pasture to plate, they've got great food. They are rolling out a new line of pizzas here in 2026. I had a slice of the carnivore yesterday, all meat pizza, meat lover's pizza. It was fantastic. They also have an Alsager creamy chicken Alfredo. And not my cup of tea, but I bet the people that like that kind of thing will be all over that. Alsager pepperoni classic and Alsager signature supreme. Those sound great. They also are carrying Alsager chuck wagon beans, just like you remember them when you're growing up. Ground beef, bacon bits, and beans in a sweet sauce. They also sell Carl's Lefse, made in Hawley, Minnesota, over there, too. Only ones in the FM area to carry it. Four locations across Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, and also Breckenridge and Audubon, Minnesota. So thanks to Alsagers for making this all happen. All right, 10:35. As I mentioned to you, Rocky Schneider said, hey, Steve, I get it. Let's talk next week sometime about downtown food carts. Because I know there's a lot of you who just have something you want to say. And I'm not asking you to be an expert on anything. When you call this show, believe me, I'm not asking you to like have some great understanding of what the legal code is for this or have a lot of expertise. I just want to know how you feel. How do you feel about this whole thing? And what do you think we should be thinking about based on what's going through your mind and your heart today? 701-271-1100 is the phone number. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. And John wants to talk about the shooting in Minneapolis yesterday. John, what should we be thinking about and talking about with this story, do you think?
Firm believer in play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's just my mindset. I can't wrap my head around a lot of these people, Steve. You know, to me, it's all about law and order. Why on God's green earth would you not want a civilized society that welcomes those who have talents and have the abilities to enrich your society and move it forward versus people intent on ill will and lethargy? I mean, that's what it boils down to in my book, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like you. It's like, you know, if she'd only been at home, maybe sitting in front of her computer, engaging her mind with, well, why does communism never work? Gee, what is a criminal? Gee, why do you not want criminals? You know, I mean, I don't know if it's a failure with our public school system or it's just a failure in society itself that people just can't educate themselves and just apply common sense logic.
It feels to me, John, that it's so much about Donald Trump, this Trump derangement syndrome. We kind of laugh about it, but it's true. There are people that hate certain things in our country because Donald Trump likes them and wants them, and they have become radicalized somehow, some way. Maybe it's school, maybe it's online, social, I don't know. But you ask a very honest and a very sincere question. How do you think that it's, why would you want a society where just anybody can come through? Well, because Donald Trump doesn't want that. And I don't know what else to answer, because that's the only answer I can come up with. Because if you use the brain that the good Lord gave you to think through all this, any reasonable person comes back to the thing of, yeah, we should have some immigration, but there has to be some rules and some boundaries here. If you think anything else, you're getting that from somebody who says Donald Trump doesn't like that, therefore we don't like Donald Trump and we're going to take the other side. It's like we always joke, like if Donald Trump could cure cancer in the office this afternoon and he did it, they would be mad that he didn't do it sooner, that he didn't do it in a whatever when the cameras were rolling. It's they are just so deranged by this man. I don't know what they're going to do when Trump leaves office, John. I really don't.
Well, it's not just Trump, though, in my eyes anymore, Steve. It's just like common sense is just eluding them.
Yeah.
You can't. I don't know. You know, I guess I was always brought up better that it's like, you know, if you're doing well for yourself, yes, you try and do well for those around you. But by the same token, you're not going to invite 10,000 people to camp in your backyard and just pee your money down the drain.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, I just can't. I can't get my head around it. It's like
I know. I know.
How can you hate your country and your fellow citizens so much as to be affected by just what one person says?
Yeah, but John, I think the problem is though they have been somehow taught or made to think that loving your country either doesn't matter, or loving your country means let's just import zillions of people from whoever, and we don't care if we know who they are, if they want to hurt the country or whatever. It doesn't make much sense. John, I got to run, but thank you for calling. Appreciate your thoughts on that. That opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. Whether you're listening to us on KTGO, WZFG, anywhere in between, the mobile app, smart speakers, you're welcome to call the show right now at 271-1100. Dan in Fargo, you're up next. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying that she was an ICE observer with their app and whatnot down in Minneapolis. You know, attention.
Okay, but let me stop you there. I'm sorry, but why do we have ICE observers? Like, what are we doing here? What? Who came up with this idea that we should have people there watching ICE? It's just designed to stir up trouble. This is what it is.
Exactly, and then you call in, you know, 50 or 100 people to inflict and get in the way of ICE federal agents. It's a recipe for disaster, and yes. Waltz and Frey, no one calls it out.
Right. No, they don't say anything about anything happened there, but when things escalate and boil over in a very tense situation, we understand that this woman had been sort of badgering these guys. I don't know about all day, but in events leading up to this, a witness there who doesn't have a dog in this fight at all is telling people, reporters, like, yeah, this woman was just there to stir up trouble. And, you know, yeah. The people are there to stir up trouble because somebody put them up to it or said that you should go do it, and they're too dumb to think for themselves. So here they are in the middle of it. Things happen, and nobody wants to ask that. Jacob Fry and Tim Walls are not talking about any of that. Like, you know, hey, yeah. We don't like ICE here, but give them room, stay back a little bit, let them do their thing. They don't say that ever.
Exactly. And who was the lady in the passenger side in the window telling her to do stuff? Like, she was right on the street on the other side of the car of the federal agents talking to the driver.
With the video, yeah. Yeah. The
video should be a lot longer too. It shouldn't be just right at that clip.
Yeah, that's right too. I said that earlier that the video just conveniently is somebody's there at the right time and the right place to say, it's like they knew something was going down. Like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't know. It's weird to me. Dan, thank you for calling. You make some really good points. Appreciate you giving a call here to the show today. That opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. From the text line, I've had a bunch of texts come in here too. Let me try to get to some of these. Steve, we need to ban these assault vehicles immediately. well played, well played. Yeah, the assault vehicles. Yeah, good stuff. Steve, the tension in Minnesota you spoke of is not real. It's all manufactured and paid for. Yeah. Well, yes and no. Yes, it's all manufactured and paid for, but it is real now. It's real now. There's no doubt. I was watching some of Fox News coverage this morning from one of these scenes in Minneapolis where people are, you know, protesting, and it's just like the Dapple protests now. And the George Floyd protests, like law enforcement is there trying to secure an area where they're doing work and people are spitting on them, shouting. And have you noticed like how many F-bombs and signs with the F word? Like this word seems to be like the motto for the left. F this, F that. It's like, oh, my gosh. Like these in some cases, these beautiful young women are there. And they're dressed up nice. They seem to be attractive human beings. And their language, oh, my words. Like, okay, you were good looking until I heard you start talking about there. So maybe change that a little bit. Steve, you just said the schools were closed in Minneapolis Thursday, Friday. Do you have any information if the daycares are still open? Oh, okay. There you go on that. Greg, you got about, give me your best 20 seconds, Greg.
Okay, I believe all of this is tied into the NGOs and the money that's coming from all the fraud and abuse, and that the all these groups are fighting to keep the illegals because it's a cash cow for them.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. I didn't think about it that way, connecting those dots about the money, all the fraud money, all the money that disappeared. All of a sudden, we got a rent-a-mob showing up in Minneapolis. Greg, good stuff. Appreciate you, my man. Thanks for calling. Okay, we're going to keep this going. Corey, hang on. You're next up. Bunch of emails have come in on this as well. What's the big thing that we need to be thinking about based on what has happened now in Minneapolis? Let's keep that conversation going next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I will be filling in for Scott Henn in the first hour of What's on Your Mind today from 11 to noon. Scotty runs in a little different circle than most of us. He is going to be down in the Twin Cities today. Yeah, I know, right? But he's going to be interviewing Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, at an event going on down there. He's giving a talk to a Minneapolis business club. And they're going to be talking about this, you know, the fraud stuff that, I mean, it definitely affects U.S. funds, right? The money. So he's talking about that. And our Scotty is going to get a chance for a one-on-one interview with Scott Bessent. And he's doing that in about the next 10 minutes or so. So he said, hey, Alstrom, can you cover the first hour for me? I'm talking to Scott Bessent tomorrow. I'm like, sure, of course you are. Yes, I'll be happy to do that. So Addison and I will be hanging with you the first hour, and then Kevin Flynn and Scotty will get you home from there. So hang tight. Should be a fun What's on Your Mind program, at least after the first hour anyway. But we're going to keep this conversation going because a lot of you have wanted to comment on this today, and there's still so much to unpack on this story. So hang tight. A lot of good stuff coming here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, and then What's on Your Mind. I do want to remind you as well that the Big Deals Marketplace is open on am1100theflag.com, am1100theflag.com. If you've not been on the Big Deals page, wow, is there good stuff. Big discounts on cool stuff, a lot of stuff that you probably do anyway. You go out to eat, you need some work done on your car, you want to go to a hockey game, health and beauty, home and family, hotel, pets, liquor, retail, Second Amendment, get your certifications, all that. And you save 15, 30, sometimes even 50%. So you save big money on the Big Deals page at am1100theflag.com. So check that out. Wherever you live, wherever you're at, a lot of this stuff is statewide or regionally as well. So check that out. You'll be glad that you did. One of our callers brought it up earlier. And Corey, hang on a minute. I know you're waiting to talk, and we'll get you in as soon as possible. But I want to play this for you before I forget about it. Kristen Robbins was on Capitol Hill yesterday talking about the fraud in Minnesota. And one of our early callers, I forget if it was Tom, can't remember exactly, but one of our extended flag family members said, hey, remember, yesterday was Kristen Robbins and some of these other people testifying in front of the GOP House Oversight Committee about all the fraud in Minnesota. And is it possible that this whole thing was designed to distract from that? Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know that somebody wanted to die for that, but is it possible? 100%. This is how things work in politics. It's like anything we can do to distract. And Republicans have done this before, too. Don't get me wrong. But is it possible that people don't want you to be hearing and thinking about Kristen Robbins being in front of the House people and hearing things like this?
We have now found fraud in multiple Medicaid programs, including autism centers, sober homes, non-emergency medical transportation, integrated community supports, and housing stabilization. Just last month, our committee held a hearing on credible allegations of fraud in two new areas, adult day services and assisted living. First U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson, the leading prosecutor in these cases from the Biden administration and the Trump administration, says the fraud could be an astronomical $9 billion. We have now found
$9 billion. Yeah, a lot of money there. And was this in the news cycle much yesterday? Sure wasn't. Should have been. Let's remember that this fraud thing. Tim Walz can be as self-righteous as he wants to, but that guy should honestly just not show his face one more time between now and whenever the next person comes in, since he is out of there. Be a good lame duck governor, Tim, and just go away. Kristen Robbins, by the way, one of the candidates on the Republican side for governor. Right now it looks like Amy Klobuchar, but she hasn't announced for sure. It will be a very, very difficult race for Republicans to win. But the more things like this that happen that we're talking about, all these news stories. This is the Democrat playbook right now, and so we're finding today something new we can hang on Amy Klobuchar in a way. So interesting stuff. All right, Corey's on the line, Valley Christian Counseling Wellness phone line, and he wants to talk about the Minneapolis shooting. Hey, Corey, what do you think we need to be talking about here?
Hey, good morning, Steve. So kind of to lead into it, I was watching. I don't watch the news very often, but you had commented on how CBS News was being a little more fair. So I had turned on the TV the other night and figured that I'd give them a chance too. And it was more of a local station out of the Twin Cities, and they had made a point, and I caught it because I had a keen ear to it, but they were talking about how there are trainings going on right now down in the Twin Cities on how to be a observer, and they're actually putting on classes to train these people in the Twin Cities. And I was like, what? They didn't go into great detail what they're training them on, but they're actually bringing people in and training them right within the own Twin Cities. So I'm kind of curious at what actually their curriculum is there. And my other comment on this whole, we call it protesting, but in reality, when you're standing in front of a government official, and be it a law enforcement, ICE agent, and you're preventing them from doing or executing justice,
yes,
that's not a First Amendment situation. That's an obstruction
you're
of
right.
justice or interfering with legal proceedings.
100%. Corey, good stuff. I got to let you go because I'm out of time, but thank you. You're 100% right. And that is not observing, right? Observing is standing and watching. You don't need to go to a class to learn how to observe. You stand on the sidewalk and gawk if you want to, but that is observing. What that woman was doing was not observing. And sadly, she's not here because of it. Sad story all the way around, but So preventable. All right, Steve Hallstrom in for Scotty here for the next hour of What's on Your Mind. Randy, hang on. Keep those phones coming. We'll keep taking those calls.